Well, as Michael mentioned, this morning we are continuing in our series, Following in His Steps. And each week this summer, we're looking at one man or woman from the Bible who gives us an example to follow. And this morning, we're actually looking at one of the most highly esteemed women in the Bible. Only most people don't usually think of this woman when they think of a great woman of faith. But this woman is actually one of only two women who are listed in what is often regarded as the great Hall of Faith chapter in Hebrews chapter 11. The other woman is Sarah, Abraham's wife. And so the writer of Hebrews put this woman on a par with Sarah and a number of other great men of faith. This woman is also mentioned in James's letter in the New Testament. And in James chapter 2, James wants to give us a picture of what real faith looks like. And so he looks at two examples. One example is the example of Abraham offering his son Isaac as a sacrifice. And the other example is this woman. So, this woman is remembered in the New Testament as a woman who exercised incredible faith. And yet, if you had mentioned her name in the average church in the United States today, most people would say, "Who's Rahab?" My hope is that by the end of our time here this morning, you will not only know who she is, but you'll also want to follow in her steps. Let's read about her story in Joshua, book of Joshua, chapter 2. Joshua is the sixth book in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. And chapter 2 is where we'll read here this morning. Joshua chapter 1 actually describes the transfer of leadership, so to speak, from Moses to Joshua. Moses has died. And in Joshua chapter 1, God transfers the authority and really the responsibility for Joshua, to Joshua, to lead the nation of Israel into the promised land. And in chapter 2 of Joshua, we see that Joshua sends two men on a reconnaissance mission into the land to check out the area around Jericho, because that's the first obstacle that they face in taking the land. So let's read about that. Joshua chapter 2, let's start in verse 1. It says, "Then Joshua the son of Nun sent two men as spies secretly from Shittim, saying, 'Go view the land, especially Jericho.' So they went and came into the house of a harlot whose name was Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, men from the sons of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land.' And the king of Jericho sent word to Rahab, saying, 'Bring out the men who've come to you, who've entered your house, for they've come to search out all the land.' But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And she said, 'Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they're from. And it came about when it was time to shut the gate at dark that the men went out. I don't know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them.' But she had brought them up on the roof and hidden them in the stalk of flax which she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued them on the road to the Jordan, of the Jordan to the fords, and as soon as those who were pursuing them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now before they laid down, she came up to them on the roof and said to them, 'I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. For we have heard about how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, which you utterly destroyed. And when we heard it, our hearts melted, and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God, in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now, therefore, please swear to me by the Lord since I have dealt kindly with you, that you also will deal kindly with my father's household and give me a pledge of truth, and spare my father and my mother and my brothers and my sisters with all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death." So the men said to her, "Our life for yours, if you do not tell this business of ours. And it shall come about when the Lord gives us the land that we will deal kindly and faithfully with you." Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall, so that she was living on the wall. And she said to them, "Go to the hill country, lest the pursuers happen upon you, and hide yourself there for 3 days until the pursuers return. Then afterwards you may go on your way." And the men said to her, "We shall be free from this oath to you which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land you tie this cord of scarlet thread in the window through which you let us down, and gather to yourself into the house your father and your mother and your brothers and all your father's household. And it shall come about that when anyone who goes out of this door, the door of this of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his head, and we shall be free. But anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if a hand is laid on him. But if you tell this business of ours, then we shall be free from the oath which you have made us swear." And she said, "According to your words, so be it." So she sent them away, and they departed. And she tied the scarlet cord in the window. Now, at first glance, it may seem that what we have right here makes Rahab kind of an unlikely candidate for the superior billing that she gets in the New Testament. But I think that when you stop and think about what went on here and actually how she responded to this situation before us, it becomes more and more clear that this woman was an incredible woman of faith. She showed an incredible faith. How so, you might ask? Well, I will tell you. First off, one of the things you see here is that Rahab was a model of a simple faith. She's just a model of simple faith. Basically, what we see here is that Rahab heard some information about this group of people called Israel. Heard some information about Israel. And she believed in Israel's God. And that's basically what you see right here. A very simple faith. Look at verse 9 again. It says in verse 9, "I know that the Lord has given you the land." Now, one of the things you notice in most of your translations is the word "Lord" is in all caps. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Anybody know why different translations put it that way? Yeah, it's the translation of the personal name of God, Yahweh. And the tradition among the Jews over the centuries was never to pronounce the personal name of God, Yahweh. So whenever that appeared in the text, they would translate it with the name Adonai, Lord. And so that it would be read that way. It was written as Yahweh and always read as Lord. And so that's why the English translators have carried that tradition on. So literally it would say, "I know that Yahweh has given you the land." So she knew of the name of God, and she knew of their God, whose name was Yahweh. And she said, "I know that Yahweh has given you this land." Now, how did she know that? Well, basically what you see here is that this was a conclusion that Rahab had come to based on some simple information that she had heard. Look at verse 10 again. It says, "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed." So in other words, when these things happened when God brought them out of Egypt and parted the Red Sea and they passed through. And as they got into battles with some of these different people, and in particular with the Amorites, and they utterly destroyed them, when those things happened, word got out. And people in Jericho heard about this group of people who had come out of Egypt through some very unusual circumstances. Now, when the people of Jericho heard about this, they responded. They heard, they believed it, and they responded. Based on what we've read here, how did they respond? The people of Jericho. Yeah, they were scared. Verses 9 and verse 11 tell us that. In verse 9 it says, "The terror of you has fallen on us, and all of the inhabitants of the land have melted away." Then verse 11, similar things, it says, "When we heard, our hearts melted, and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you." So, when the people of Jericho heard about what had gone on with Israel over this time, they heard it, and they believed it, and they were scared. And likewise, Rahab heard it and believed it, but she took her belief one step further. See, she took her belief to its logical conclusion. And she said, "For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath." So Rahab put two and two together and figured out, if their God is doing stuff like parting the Red Sea, if their God is giving them the ability to destroy these other armies, if their God can do these things, he must really be God. And she came to that conclusion, and she believed in the Lord. Now, that's an example of simple faith. See, she believed the information, first off. She believed what she had heard. You know, it's interesting here, as far as we know, Rahab did not go do a scientific study to figure about how the waters could have parted on the Red Sea. She didn't fool with that. As far as we can tell, she didn't send people down or go down herself to interview the people who were left over from the Amorites and find out what on there. She heard the information, and she believed it. Simple faith. But then she took it to its logical conclusion. Their God must be God. Now, if you think about it, God asks everybody to do exactly the same thing. Simple faith. You know, the Bible claims that God has given the world a report about himself. In Hebrews chapter 1, it says this. It says, "God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers, in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world." So the Bible tells us that God has spoken. And he's spoken through the prophets, and he's spoken through his Son, Jesus. And God has reported through the prophets and through Jesus, he's reported some information about himself. And we have the report of what God has had to say. And we call it the Bible. God's given us his report. And there is ample reason to believe the report. And so what God wants us to do is he wants us to accept the report, believe the report, and then follow it to its logical conclusions. And that's simple faith. Believe the report, take it to its logical conclusions. Now, it's interesting as you read on in this example of Rahab, it's interesting to see how God responds to simple faith when he sees it. You know, it seems clear from what we read here that Rahab believed these things before these guys showed up at her door that night. In other words, she had come to the conclusion that Yahweh, your God, he is God. She had come to that conclusion before that night. Now, think about the coincidence that we have here. Here was a woman in Jericho who had concluded that Israel's God was, in fact, God. So there is this woman in Jericho who had concluded that. And Israel's spies just happened to show up at her door. Isn't that an amazing coincidence? Do you think that's a coincidence? Yeah, no way. See, God led those spies to that woman. He knew who believed in him in that town, and he led those spies to her. Now, why did he do that? Two reasons. One was to protect the spies. But what was the other reason? To protect Rahab. Now, what you see right there is just an example of one of God's basic operating principles. And here's the principle. When people put simple faith in God, God sends them salvation. Now, we saw that here in a very physical way. She believed God, and God sent her protection, salvation. But the Lord also does that in a very spiritual sense as well. John chapter 3, verse 16 says what? Say it all together if you know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. See, that's simple faith. It's believing what God has said about himself and taking it to its logical conclusion and trusting in him, and he brings salvation. So that's the first example here that Rahab models for us. She modeled simple faith. She heard about God, she believed what she heard, and she took it to its logical conclusion. Simple faith. And God wants us to follow in her steps. Second thing you see here, in addition to having simple faith, Rahab also modeled for us active faith. When James writes about Rahab, he says this. He says, you see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. So, when the two spies showed up at Rahab's door, she put her faith into action. Again, in verse 9, we see what she believed. Her statement of faith in verse 9 was, I know that the Lord has given you the land. That was a statement of faith. And again, the reason that she knew that was because she had concluded that Israel's God was God. Now, she believed that, but she also acted on that. So what did she do because of what she believed? Well, actually, we see here she did at least three things. First off, she hid the spies and told the king's messengers that they had gone away. That's the first thing that she did. Hid the spies and then covered up for them and told the messengers that they were gone. First thing. Then secondly, she made a deal with the spies so that when Israel invaded the land, they would protect her in much the same way that she had protected them. That's the second thing that she did in action in response to her faith, what she believed. And then the third thing she did was she tied a scarlet cord in her window and she just waited for Israel to come. Now, if you think about it, each of those actions involved a risk of faith. For example, the first thing, hiding the spies and lying to the king about that was a sure death sentence if she was caught. So she put her life on the line in order to protect those guys. Secondly, she also put her life in their hands. See, she trusted that they would keep the promise that they had made. She didn't know those guys. They were just two guys that showed up in the door. But she made a deal with them, and she put her life in their hands. So firstly, she put her life on the line. Secondly, she put her life in their hands. And then thirdly, she took a risk of faith when she tied that cord in the window and just waited for Israel to come back. You know, that's an interesting one that's easy to read and just kind of pass by, but I want to highlight that just for a minute. See, it's interesting to me here that she tied the cord in the window as soon as the spies left. See, in verses 17 and 18, if you look back there, the spies told her, "We shall be free from this oath to you unless when we come into the land you tie this cord of scarlet thread in the window." So Rahab could have just taken that scarlet cord, put it in a handy place on the shelf by the window, and as soon as she heard the uproar out of town, grabbed the cord, put it out in the window where everybody could see it. But verse 21 tells us that that's not what she did. If you look at verse 21, it says, "So she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window." So she tied the cord in the window right away after they left. Now, why'd she do that? Well, obviously, we don't know, because she's not here to tell us. But my thought is that she did that as a testimony that she was no longer trusting in her own culture, her own people, but she was now trusting in a new culture and trusting in their God. You know, having that red cord hang in the window probably meant nothing to anybody else, but I'll bet it meant something big to Rahab. And it basically meant that she had given up on Jericho and she was trusting in Israel and their God. So, when Rahab decided to believe that Israel's God was God, she did something about what she believed. See, she took action to identify herself with God and his people, and she took action to entrust her life to God and his people. Now again, that's an example for us to follow. And here's the question for the day, and it may be the question for the week. And the question is, what are you doing with what you believe? What are you doing with what you believe? See, we believe lots of things. But the Bible reminds us over and over again that real faith, like we saw here as James talked about Rahab, real faith always influences our actions in one way or another. See, in one way or another, everything we believe should influence some action within us. For example, do you believe that God loves you? Do you believe that? Well, you should, because he does. But what are you doing with that belief? For example, 1 John says this. It says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." See, if you believe that God loves you, then you should love one another. See, it's one of the actions of that belief. Do you believe that God forgives you? That all of your sins, past, present, future, that they've been dealt with by Jesus on the cross, and that he forgives you? Do you believe that? I didn't hear anything. Do you believe that? Yes, okay, well, and you should, because he does forgive us through what Jesus did. That's what we remember at the Lord's table. But then the question is, what are you doing with that belief, that he forgives you? And Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he says this. He says, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." See, if you are a forgiven person, you should also be a forgiving person. See, that's the natural application of this. If you believe that God answers prayer, what should you do? Pray, sure. If you believe that God rewards those who seek him, what should you do? Seek him, of course. If you believe that you are an ambassador for Jesus Christ, what should you do? Tell other people about him. See, some way Everything you believe is supposed to shape some action, influence some action. And James says that we should be doers of the word and not merely hearers of the word. But he also said that Rahab's an example of that. So, we should follow in her steps. One more thing I want to look at before we close this morning. One more example from Rahab to look at. In Hebrews chapter 11 and in James chapter 2, Rahab has a title that's tied to her name. What's her title? The harlot. She's identified as Rahab the harlot in James chapter 2 and in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, at first glance, that seems like quite a slam on Rahab. I don't know any of us that would like to be known for our past sins. I don't think any of us would like to have a title that's based on past or present sins. Like Ray the Liar. You know, here's our pastor, Ray the Liar. Or so-and-so the adulterer. Or so-and-so the cheat. Or so-and-so the thief or whatever. You know, none of us would like that. So how do you think Rahab would feel if she knew how she was being billed in the New Testament here? Rahab the prostitute. Now, again, we don't know how she would feel. But I have a feeling that she would probably be fine with that. Because the fact that Rahab is remembered this way in the New Testament is a reminder of God's grace. See, Rahab's title is a testimony to God's grace in her life. See, this title is a reminder that God can take any person, no matter what your past has been, and he can draw you to faith in himself, and he can use you, and he will honor you forever. Rahab is mentioned one other place in the New Testament. She's mentioned in Hebrews 11, James 2, and one other place. Anybody know where it is? Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1 gives us the list of the Lord Jesus' earthly ancestors. And it says this: to Salmon was born Boaz by Rahab. And to Boaz was born Obed by Ruth. And to Obed, Jesse, and to Jesse was born David, the king. So Rahab was the great-great-grandmother of King David, and also one of the ancestors, earthly line of the Lord Jesus Christ. She's a testimony of God's grace. Grace is what elevates a prostitute to an honored position in the kingdom of God. And grace is what takes us, with whatever our background was, whatever our sins were, and likewise honors us to a position of honor in the kingdom of God. You know, Rahab reminds us that sin is no barrier to grace. God's grace will overcome any sin in anybody. See, it doesn't matter what you've done. His grace is available for you. You know, it's interesting, in Hebrews and in James, Rahab's title reminds us of where she came from. But if you read the rest of those verses, they remind us of where she ended up. She's honored as a great woman of faith, and we should follow in her steps. Well, this morning, I just wanted to introduce you or reintroduce you to Rahab the harlot. So remember, she's a model of simple faith. Believe what you've heard, carry it to its logical conclusions. That's simple faith. Secondly, she's a model of active faith. What are you doing with what you believe? Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14 says, "But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so that you can do it. Everything written in the Bible has something that we need to respond to. Active faith. And then Rahab is a testimony of God's grace. Remember where you came from. Remember where you're going. And remember that grace is the thing that takes you from the one place to the other. One of the ways that we remember God's grace in a tangible way here at Hope Christian Church is just by gathering around the Lord's table. And we